This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Markets rebound as they eye more global stimulus. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. Recession fears plagued the markets last week, particularly the bond market, and worries over trade tensions affecting global growth stoked investor concern. But it's a brand new week. So how are markets doing today? The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up about 0.9%. That's about 254 points. The NASDAQ is up 1.2%, 99 points. The S&P 500 is up 30 points. That's about 1%. The FTSE in London also up about 71 points. That's about 1%. And the 10-year Treasury yield is up as well at 1.612%. So some signs of recovering investor sentiment. But what's giving market players hope? On Mondays, we consult Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So quite the bumpy ride last week. How are things recovering?
Well, sentiment looks to be a little bit better at the start of the week. We've had some indications that policymakers around the world might be looking towards adding stimulus to help ease the pain of the slowing growth.
Specifically, what examples?
Well, so we've seen the German policymakers indicate that they'd be willing to do fiscal stimulus. We've seen the Central Bank of China cut rates. And so there's definitely some stimulus starting to be pushed into the pipeline.
So what are markets watching going forward?
So this week we have the minutes from the last Fed meeting, and we also have the annual conference of central bankers in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, hosted by the Fed at the end of the week. We'll hear from the Fed chair, and in general, the message that investors are expecting is that more stimulus is in the pipeline, more rate cuts are coming, and that will help offset what has been slowing growth. And it might be worth adding that consumers, we also had data from U.S. consumers showing retail sales were just fine in July. So still the U.S. economy is holding up well, and that might also be boosting sentiment.
Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Home Depot is scheduled to release its quarterly earnings this week. Although, as Julia mentioned, retail sales are fine, there are fewer new homes being built, meaning fewer runs to the home improvement and building supply store. Marketplace's Mariel Seguero reports on what the company and the industry are facing.
On the one hand, Home Depot's in a good position. Laura Champagne at Loop Capital says there's steady demand for its products.
That's in part driven by their own initiatives. They're putting lockers in the front of the store, which make it easier to pick up items that are ordered online. Their selection, their pricing is all very good.
On the other hand, there's a lot going on in the economy that could hurt the company. Existing home sales are down year over year. Home prices are still growing, but at a slower pace. And then there's the trade war. Seth Basham at Wedbush Securities says a lot of Home Depot's products are on the tariff list. He says the company has tried to renegotiate with vendors and to find other sources for its products.
However, they are not able to reduce or offset all of the higher costs related to tariffs, so they're ending up having to pass some of that higher cost on to the customer in the form of higher prices.
Analysts say these are problems that Home Depot will probably be facing for many quarters to come. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
And one of the largest business groups in the U.S. is urging American companies to prioritize reform capitalism. The Business Roundtable, a conglomerate of companies like J.P. Morgan, Amazon, and General Motors, issued the news statement of purpose this morning. It called for companies to move away from solely focusing on shareholder returns, saying businesses should consider protecting the environment, treating workers with dignity and respect, all while also delivering long-term profits for shareholders. Thank you.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The Trump administration wants to ease certain regulations for truck drivers. It's the latest move to roll back restrictions on this $800 billion a year industry. The regulations under review govern how long drivers can be on the clock and when they should take rest breaks. From the Workplace Culture Desk, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
Right now, long-haul drivers can work a 14-hour day with 11 total hours on the road, and they must have 10 hours off duty before each new shift. There have always been rules, but since the switch to electronic hours tracking in 2017, industry has been pushing back against what they say are rigid and impractical requirements. With traffic, weather, and unpredictable loading times, drivers need to improvise on the road, says Karen Marshall, a truck driver from Frametown, West Virginia.
It's almost like we have to have a master's degree in mathematics sometimes.
Under the proposed changes, drivers could split their 10-hour rest break into two shorter periods and have a longer day, up to 17 hours, if they take a break. Marshall says that would give her more flexibility.
We as drivers can sit there and go, okay, traffic is horrendous right now, so I can stop, take a nap, and wait for traffic to clear.
Federal officials say it would make deliveries more efficient and save the industry about $275 million a year, savings that could be passed on to consumers. The Association of the country's largest freight companies and a trade group for independent drivers both support the changes, but the policies have plenty of critics, like driver Bob Stanton from Chicago, who worries the rules could be abused to push drivers to extend their shifts, and that could be dangerous.
So I could still be driving 17 hours after I started my workday.
Research shows a person who has gone even 17 hours without sleep could have their reaction time slowed, equivalent to having a blood alcohol level of 0.05. Any loosening of the rules is a step in the wrong direction, says Kathy Chase with Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety.
We know that driver fatigue is a proven cause of many truck crashes. Truck drivers are being pushed beyond their physical and mental limits.
The public now has a little more than a month to weigh in on the proposed rules, as the industry also faces driver shortages and driverless technology not too far down the road. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.